Hello and welcome to the Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of September 24. I'm Joel Marshall, and joining me to take a look at all the big action for a huge weekend of racing is my Winning Post colleague Carl Diorio. And Carl, we've got huge Group 1 action at Caulfield on Saturday and a couple of key feature lead-ups towards the Guineas races.
Great time of the year, isn't it, Joel? Plenty of great horses out in action, and while the picture for some of those big spring features is certainly going to get clearer after Saturday.
Yes, indeed. We've got five black type races all told at Caulfield and six at Rosehill. We'll get to the Rosehill card shortly. We will kick off with Caulfield. And do stay tuned in towards the end of the podcast. We've had some listener feedback inquiring about perhaps our early fancies for some of the spring majors coming up within the next month or two. So we've compiled a list, each of us, and we'll give you our early thoughts once we've been through the weekend's cards, so stick with us. Caulfield, we will kick off with, of course, we have got the two group ones, but we'll kick off, we'll do all the black type action, and the Harry White Classic kicks us off a listed event over the 2400, race two, Carl.
Black Tomahawk for me, won this race last year and he hasn't won since, but his recent form's been positive, filling minor placings of late. Some would say he's had his chance the last few times, but he hasn't been disgraced, nosed out a couple of times. Those races, they've run quick time, and I think he just peaked on his effort just a wee bit late, but if he reproduces some of those efforts, he'll be going very close once again. Got him on top from three Old Man Din, eight The Bandit, and four Assign.
I'm with one Sign Off to hit back and show his worth this time in. He's got the 60 kilos and he's got to step straight to 2400, but I think his class will get him through to be eight The Bandit, who's certainly shown plenty of promise. A cracking return from him. Five Black Tomahawk in for third and three Al Mandan for fourth. We move across to the 1000 Guineas Prelude, which is race five on the card. This is for the three-year-old fillies, Carl, over 1400 metres.
Samara Dancer on top for me, number three, trained by Philip Stokes. And Phillip's always had a big opinion of this filly. Thought she'd be a 1000 Guineas filly before she came out and won the Blue Diamond Prelude so impressively first up last campaign. She started this prep with a nice third in the Danehill, and I think she's ready to perform quite well on the weekend. Interestingly enough, her half-brother was a Claire Big Bang. He ran third in the Danehill before winning the Caulfield Guineas Prelude for the Colts and Geldings, and I think Samara Dancer will do similar on the weekend. Wide Barrier is the only concern. Likewise with my second selection, number two, Miss Rock, but I'm expecting Miss Rock to be a big improver up in trip, and I didn't think the run over 1,100 metres was all that bad. Third, number 12, Sebring Dream. We all saw the way she found the line first up at Mooney Valley. And for fourth, number four, Luna Rossa, formerly known as just Luna Rossa in New Zealand. Her first up effort recently was okay, and she'll be an improver up in trip.
I'm with 12, Sebring Dream. Really liked her fresh up effort. We saw her win over 1400. As a two-year-old, I think she'll run really well on Saturday and then be hard to beat in the Guineas. She's on top for me, number 12, from three, Samara Dancer. Agree with everything you've said. One, Whispering Brook, who was good at Mooney Valley. The Perth filly, that was her first defeat, but she ran really well. And 11, Leote, continues to impress. They decided against going to Sydney. It was the wise move. They wouldn't have beaten a Stern, you wouldn't have thought, but she should run well on Saturday. The boys get their chance in race six, the Caulfield Guineas Prelude, over 1,400 metres.
Seaburge for me, number three. Fitted for the two runs this campaign, that's important, because I think first up in the McNeely wasn't quite wound up, and his condition gave out late. He stepped up to the 1400, he looked a bit more fitter, and he didn't get much luck in the straight. He was always in restricted room, and he was climbing over their backs late. I think third up, staying at 1400, this will be a flashing light run heading towards the Caulfield Guineas. So I've got him on top from six Archives, who finished ahead of Samara Dancer and just behind Saraceno, or Saracino, as some might want to say, in the Danehill last time, and I have got Saracino in for third. I think that Danehill form will be reasonable enough in this Guineas Prelude. And then for fourth, number 12, Hardham. I think he's mentally not there yet, but I think in the autumn he's going to be a much better horse.
Yeah, I'm with six Archives. Was with him in the Danehill and didn't do anything to turn me against him. I think out in 1400 will certainly help. So he's on top from two Saracino, one Sacred Elixir will be running on strongly, and three Seaburge in for fourth. Race seven is the first of the big ones, the Sir Rupert Clark Stakes Group 1 over 1400 metres. And we already have a couple of early scratchings. Tycoon Tara was very early, and Under the Louvre was Thursday morning.
Has it come out officially Under the Louvre?
Yes.
It has, okay. 99%
sure it has.
Well, Tabachi on top for me. Doesn't change my plans. I had neither of them in my original top four. Or I just think Tabachi, great each way bet, stays light in the weights. Of course, second up last campaign, he won the CS Hayes, beating Palantino. That Bobby Lewis run was really nice. His late sectionals comparable to winner Fadena, and obviously the Hayes stable's got a really nice opinion in that sprinter. Just think he's going to get the perfect sort of run from barrier three with the lightweight again. Got him to beat Voodoo Lad. Fantastic effort in the listed race at Mooney Valley last time. It had to be seen to be believed. For third, number 11, Bonorum. Cheesy found the line well last time, and he's another great lightweight chance. And for fourth, number 6, Counterattack. It was unlucky last time in Sydney. They're your four winning chances. I'll be surprised if the winner comes outside those four.
Yeah, I went 6 Counterattack. Not really enthused about the price, and to be honest, I won't be backing him at those odds, but I'll put him on top. I think he's hard to beat. Very good return from him. Bit stiff not to win. And I think his Stradbroke run was a bit forgivable. Hit the lead on the turn and was probably the... well, he was over towards the inside part of the track, still a fair way away from the rails, but that wasn't the place to be. I thought he's always looked like he was going to get to Group 1 level, and he gets his chance on Saturday. So he's on top of number 12, Thames Court, who's a bit of a roughie for mine. I think she'll give you a great sight from the inside gate up on the pace. Corey Brown, good to see him back in town. He's Thames Court. I like the form lines around Ocean Embers and Don't Doubt Mama. 7 in for third, Voodoo Lad, flying, and 2 Extravagant, trying to bounce back 1,400 round a corner. That's his go. So he gets his chance on Saturday to improve. Race 8 is the Underwood, Group 1 over 1,800 metres. And again, we've had a scratching already with Al Ivanhoe coming out.
Yeah, unfortunate for connections, he'll go around the Turnbull Stakes after cutting his leg in a small accident. But I've gone with Tavigo here, number 9. I think he'll be fitter for that first up run. I'm hoping he's ridden a bit more quietly this time around. His greatest asset is when he's able to build momentum from before the home turn and attack the line. And under those circumstances, I think he can run a nice race at each way. I think the hardest to beat and the deserved favourite in the race is Lucia Valentina, but she isn't favourite. She's the second pick behind Blackheart. But so in many ways, I can certainly entertain having a good bet on Lucia Valentina. She'll settle just off the pace. She's got the weight for age form on the board, and I think whatever beats her will be going very close to winning. Third, number 6, Awesome Rock, who won the Dardo so emphatically last time, despite knocking some of the runners over on the home turn. It still would have been awfully hard to beat. And for fourth, number 2, Blackheart Bart, who not sure about him at the trip. I'm inclined to risk him at the price, but you've got to have him in there somewhere. 9, 11, 6 and 2.
All right, on with number 8, Tarzino. Really good late in the Memsie after being run off his feet off that fast speed, and I thought his Flemington run in the Maccabi Diva was certainly a forgive run. Just wanted to over race in the early and middle stages, and then was caught down near the inside and didn't have a really, he did have a checkered passage in the straight, so expecting him to bounce back and get back on track. His form lines through the autumn with up against Palantino and Jamaica are holding up, so not jumping off Tarzino to beat 11, Lucia Valentina 9, Tavigo and 6, Awesome Rock. Best and value, Carl, for Caulfield.
Best is Mert the Flirt, race 9, number 14. Unbeaten first up, all those victories coming at Ballarat, 2 of those in Magic Millions feature races. And the most recent of those was last November when beating Wild Rain. It drew the outside barrier, Mert the Flirt, worked forward, sat 3 wide outside the speed and overrun Wild Rain over 1,100 metres, who led on the fence. Certainly not easy to do, and as we saw, Wild Rain was a Group 2 winner just a fortnight ago at Mooney Valley. Third horse in that race was Illustrious Lad, who came out and won a listed race in Adelaide last Saturday. So I really do feel that strong form lines, and Mert the Flirt off its recent jump out is ready to go. Value bet is Tavachi in the Rupert Clark, race 7, number 9.
My best is Sebring Dream, race 5, number 12, and my value is Tarzino, race 8, number 8. Moving across to Rose Hill on Saturday, as I said before, they have 6 black type races, 3 of them at Group 2 level. We'll take you through those now. The Queen's Cup is the first of them, Group 3, race 2, and only 5 runners to greet the starter, Carl.
Allegria on top for me, number 3. I thought the Winter Challenge run was Pretty forgetful, but then last time was better against the tempo in the Wyong Cup. I think the rise to 2,400 metres is certainly in his favour from one Janoob, who hit the line nicely in the Newcastle Cup. Third, number two, Allergic, and then for fourth, number four, Chiquita.
Yes, Alegria for me. Same four numbers. You did have 3, 1, 2, 4.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, same numbers for me, so we won't go into too much detail. But Alegria was good getting up in trip through the autumn. That's second to LeBron. If she can find that, I think she wins. 3, 1, 2, 4. Race four is the Reginald Allen Quality. This is for the three-year-old fillies over 1,400.
This is an interesting race. I'm going with number four, Rosa Carolina. Good first up winner at Gosford. Then last time got crossed early by Purari and just wasn't able to reel it in over the 1,200 metres. I think the rise to 1,400 is certainly in her favour. It's daughter of Savabil, bred to get over a bit of ground. And I think she can get the job done here from six. Denalicious, who trialled well before the debut failure, but has been improving with each of her runs this time in. I think she can be a bit of a cheeky runner at odds. Third, number 11, Pecans, and for fourth, number one, Purari.
Five, Smart Amelia for me. I thought she hit the line well first up. Always been a filly that's had her share of talent. Can hopefully settle closer over the 1,400 from a good draw. Got her ahead of four, Rosa Carolina, 11, Pecans, and two, Invincibella. Race five is the Stan Fox Stakes, and we are down to six runners with High Mist having come out.
Divine Prophet for me. I think he's probably the horse to beat in the Caulfield Guineas. He was quite unlucky in the Golden Rose, and I think he probably should have finished a clear second to a Stern, and I guess Divine Prophet's strongest supporters may suggest that he might have beaten the Stern, but I think Divine Prophet's the way to go here from Impending, who was the third in the Golden Rose and ran quite well prior in the run to the Rose. They look the main two for mine. Gap back to third, which is number six, Mediterranean, and then for fourth, number three, Good Standing.
Yeah, I'm clinging on to the hope of Mediterranean, but I just think he needs pace, and I don't know if they're going to get it here in another small field, but I just hope he can run well and they press on to a Caulfield Guineas where he'll get a big field and get some pace on. But look, he may not beat Divine Prophet on Saturday, but I just hope he can run much better than he did last time. I think his Golden Rose run was a forgive run, so I'll put him on top. Six to beat two, one Impending, and three Good Standing. Race six is the Gloaming. This is for the three-year-olds over the 1,800.
Veladero on top for me, number five. It was a nice win first up at Hawkesbury at maiden level, and I was impressed by the Warwick Farm win last time. Sure, there was only three rivals in the race, but it was in the second pair, and there wasn't too much tempo, but he really dashed the sharpest in that small field and won narrowly. I think 1,800 metres, certainly bred to get it. He'll put himself up on the speed, and with that sharp turn of foot, I think that's a really good asset to have in the Gloaming in this race. So I'm going to have him on top from three, High Mist, to scratch from the Stan Fox for this. It certainly looks a suitable assignment. Honey Wine in for third. He'll only get better as the races get over a further trip. And for fourth, number two, Swear.
Yeah, I'm with three, High Mist. I think he'd be very, very hard to beat. Happy they went to the Gloaming instead of the Stan Fox. Probably should have beaten Swear in the Ming Dynasty and then beat the older horses midweek level last time. He's crying out for the extra distance, so he's on top for me. From two, Swear, one prized icon. Just wanted to overdo it a bit against the older horses last time. Back to three-year-old company here, and five, Veladero in for fourth. Race seven is the day's feature. It is the $400,000 Group 2 Golden Pendant for the mares.
Dixie Blossom's on top for me. This horse finished second when resuming in the toy show. It was quite nice behind Pearls, and then luckless in the Scirocco last time. Got back from the wide barrier as it usually does and had plenty to offer in the straight, but just had no galloping room. She's lightly raced, seven starts for two wins in 3 seconds. I think she can bounce back off that luckless run in the Scirocco. She does meet several of these better at the weights. And I like her at a bit of a price from one First Seal, who is the class runner, flies first up, loves 1,400, ticks all the boxes, and the hardest to beat. Third, number eight, Sold for a Song. You know what you're going to get with her. She'll get back and be steaming home late. And for fourth, I'll put in number five, Heavens Above. Another mare with a sharp turn of foot. Really liked the last start when they're in the Scirocco, despite a few others in behind having a bit of bad luck. She was excellent, and no doubt will appreciate the rise to 1,400.
Yeah, I think she can win again, Heavens Above, but there were a few in behind her without a lot of luck. She took a while to get around heels and get into the clear herself, but she finished off well. 1400 is going to suit her even better. So I think she can win again from 10 Dixie Blossoms. It was a tragedy last start. One first seal, class mare, and 8 sold for song will be charging home.
Same numbers,
slightly different order. But you wouldn't rule out some of the others. I mean, Tyco and Tara is going well. Dead Magic's was super first up. Serene Majesty was even good first up. So we've come up with the same four, but I think you wouldn't totally be shocked if something else won it.
Zanbar as well, we haven't mentioned.
Exactly, and she had a good autumn carnival. So that's a tricky race, the Golden Pendant. The Shannon Stakes, Group 2, over the 1500, and we've lost Counter Attack and More to Gain already from this race.
Yeah, I think this race sets up nicely for High World. It's third up from a spell. Its first up run, it was ridden a little bit too positively for mine, and then second up, ridden colder and just smashed the line. It ran the best final 200 of the meeting at Caulfield, went third behind Bornorum. I think that's a really nice, strong form line. High World's a dual Group 3 winner in Sydney, and Lee and Anthony Friedman have pulled the right rein in coming up here and picking off a nice Group 2 race in the Shannon Stakes. It looks awfully hard to beat. From 7 Cape Crusader, all of his wins have been from 1400 to 1800 at Randwick after leaving. This race is at Rose Hill, but still he's down on the minimum and he's going to give it a great side in this small field, I'm sure. Third, number 5 Old North, an improver up in trip, and with a couple of gear changes as well, the crossover noseband to hopefully make him relax just a bit better. And for 4th, number 2 Entirely Platinum.
Yeah, on 7 Cape Crusader's got to step up a notch to this level, but as you said, 53 kilos, he's used to carrying above 60 in most of his recent runs, and he's going to give a great sight out in front. So I think he can take plenty of catching to beat 5 Old North, who'll strip fitter, 3 Cosmic Cube, a drier track should help him, and 4 High World in for 4th. Best and Value Cup.
Best bet is that one there, High World, in the Shannon, race 8, number 4. And the value bet comes up in the last, Happy Hannah, race 9, number 9. She's first up from a spell. Might just find the trip a little bit sharp, but I know that she'll be hitting the line hard. She's well bred and has nice form lines through the likes of Believe and Single Gaze.
My best is another high. It's High Mist, race 6, number 3, and my value is Cape Crusader, race 8, number 7. Morfordville Parks on Saturday. Carl, no black type. Give us your best and value.
Yeah, best bet comes up in race 7. It's number 11, Orient Line. He's been a consistent performer in Victoria. He heads across the border. Really knocking on the door for a win. He gets in well after the 2 kilo claim of Jake Bayliss. I thought his last start effort at Sale wasn't all that bad. He was $2.25 favourite and he missed a place in finishing 4th, but the race wasn't quite run to suit. His 2 runs prior were excellent in the midweek city class at Sandown, and I think over this distance he can be winning. And the value bet comes up in the last, Brown Ben, race 8, number 10. Fitter for 3 runs this campaign. Last start effort was encouraging, finishing 2nd at Balaclava behind Municipality, who I think will be winning earlier on in the day.
Alright, and I've got one from Morfordville. Race 4, number 7, Gold Denari. Spotted this horse trial really well without being placed under too much pressure by Roman Emperor, so you'd expect to improve over a bit of ground, but that trial was sharp enough to suggest that Gold Denari would take beating. The horse that beat it in the trials, Fully Stoked, who did come out and win and does run around in race 2. Eagle Farm on Saturday. 8 race card. My best is Legendary Luke, race 8, number 10. Showed good improvement, 2nd up when hitting the line hard. Out to 1400, 3rd up looks ideal for him. And my value is Privlaka, race 3, number 8. First go against all comers here, but his 3-year-old form through the carnival was pretty good. He charged home for 4th. First up behind Divine Centurion, sold for song. Next couple, chased home the likes of Takedown and Counter Attack. That's pretty good form. As long as he can stay in touch over the 1,000, he will be finishing off very hard. Belmont on Saturday. We have 9 races. They didn't have a midweek program. Hence, they've got 9, including a couple of maidens. My best for the card is race 5, number 5, Push and Shapes. Ran a cracking race. With the bar plates off last time out, hit the line hard at big odds behind Chocolate Pollock. That's good form line. I think Push and Shapes can break through. 3rd up out to the 1600. My value is race 9, number 8, Infatuated. Came off a bit of a let up last time out and had no luck in the straight. Held up at a key stage and didn't have a lot of room the last 100 metres either. Fitter for that, out to 1400 suits. I think he's a nice each way finish to the day. Across the Tasman on Saturday, we are racing at Ellerslie and Pukekura, heavy tracks for both meetings at this stage. My best for Ellerslie is race 8, number 1, Gravano. Ran in some good races last time in, Avondale Guineas, Waikato Guineas, some good lead-ups towards the Derby. Was okay in one of those, was safely held in the last couple, but he's pretty talented and he has won at Ellerslie on the wet. And my value is Hello M'lady in the Bone Crusher Stakes, race 7, number 10. She's still a maiden, but she's never run badly. She's had a couple of goes at stakes level, been very competitive both times. Loved her run last time out and finishing third in what should be a strong form race. First and second are both in Australia, High Lad and Manhattan Street. So I expect that form to hold up. So forget she's a maiden. I think she can run really well in race 7. And Pukekura, my best, is Mendip, race 8, number 14. Qatar Bloodstock owned mare, trained by John Wheeler, coming along really well. Her form's good and out to 1800's perfect. And my value is Light 'Em Up, race 2, number 9. Showed a bit of promise in her first prep, did this daughter of Rip Van Winkle. And I think she can run well first up on her home track. Well, that just about takes us out, certainly from the tipping and punting perspective in regards to the weekend. But Carl, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we've had some listener feedback. Drew Hallam, thanks Drew for your feedback. Long-time listener has got in touch and suggested that we come up with some early fancies for the majors through the Spring Carnival, which was handy timing because we had been asked just a couple of days earlier to provide our thoughts on these races by our colleagues at racing.com. So, Carl, we've gone through eight of the Group 1 races.
That's right.
Caulfield Guineas, who's your pick?
Inference for me, he did win last Sunday at Pakenham. Probably likely to have his next run in the Bill Stutt Stakes and that next Friday, and that may determine his fate if he presses on to the Caulfield Guineas.
I'm sticking with Mediterranean. As I said, the small field might not shape up for the stand, might not shape up well for him in the Stan Fox on Saturday, but I hope he runs well enough for them to press on towards the Guineas, 1,000 Guineas.
Miss Rock for mine, she runs on the weekend. Wide barrier probably forces their hand. They're going to settle in the second half of the field, but really look for her to be hitting the line and flourishing over a mile.
Sebring Dream for me also runs in the same race Saturday. Caulfield Cup.
Tavigo for me, I think D-Day for him in the Underwood, and it looks like he might not run the Turnbull, so this might be his final lead-up run before the Caulfield Cup.
Our Ivanhoe for me, now he has had that little setback, which is never ideal, but I think the Turnbull is a good lead-up for him into the Caulfield Cup, so assuming all is well and he can run well in the Turnbull, then I think he remains on track for the Caulfield Cup, the Manicato.
Yeah, I think most people think Chautauqua is going to be awfully hard to beat, and I'm in agreement with them.
Yeah, Chautauqua seemed the popular pick from amongst all the racing.com and the Winning Post and Best Bets crew that helped compile this list. So yeah, I'm on Chautauqua as well. Cox Plate, now Winx was clearly very popular, but there's a few tipping against her in the Cox Plate. Are you one of them?
I am. For some reason, I'm tipping Tabigo to win the Underwood, but Lucia Valentina to win the Cox Plate. So there's probably not a lot of logic there. But look, I think Lucia's going to be awfully hard to beat this weekend. And in the Cox Plate, I think if there's a horse to knock off Winx, I think she's probably the one.
I've gone the United States. I never have much luck chasing the Lloyd Williams camp, but likes Moonee Valley. I liked his run in the Darto. Was really hitting the line nicely after being held up. Won the Randvet in the autumn. Pretty talented horse. I just hope that that's the race they're setting him for. I think it is. I think he'll run well. VRC Derby.
Odeon. Ran last Saturday. Ran fifth over the mile at Caulfield. I just think it was a great effort from the outside barrier. He worked overtime. He had the audacity to kick and find the length in a bit and early in the straight till the effort told late. I think he goes to the UCI Stakes, and as long as that last start run hasn't taken any harm and harm from it, I think he'll be a big Derby contender.
I've gone Sacred Elixir. Don't think he can win the Caulfield Guineas. I just think he's going to be looking for further. By the English Derby winner, Paul Moir, I think he's going to be a real staying type. So Happy to go Sacred Elixir. What about the Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, it's have a go for me. So hopefully he wins the Caulfield Cup and he can then take out the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, without a lot of confidence, I've gone Sign Off. Not many Melbourne Cup winners are over 2,400 this early in their prep, although, you know, we forget international horses obviously do have that kind of preparation, but would certainly like to see him win or go very close on Saturday. And the Oaks, Carl. Now, this is the one where I've probably... Most people have tried to find one from left field, and the Oaks was the one for me. Who have you gone for in the Oaks?
Well, I was between Eleonora and Rosa Carolina. Toss of the coin. Eleonora is a little bit more popular, so I went a little bit left field and went Rosa Carolina. She runs on Saturday in Sydney. Hopefully, they'll stretch her out behind a mile, and she gets her chance to win the Oaks.
And my one is Arrow Harta from the Kieran Maher yard. She runs in a 1,700 metre 3-year-old and upwards maiden at Geelong on Sunday. She debuted at Donald going back, or it'd be 4 weeks, I'd say, 4 or 5 weeks. And she's the High Chaparral half-sister to Rangipo, winner of the New Zealand Derby. She ran on strongly at that Donald debut, and trying for a little bit of a history repeating, Set Square got rolled in a Donald maiden before she went on to win the Oaks for Kieran Maher last year, 2 years ago, sorry. He won the Oaks last year with Jamaica, so Kieran's going for three on the trot. Arrow Harta. She'll probably need to win on Sunday at Geelong, so we'll be a bit wiser after the weekend. Hopefully we've helped you out there with a few perhaps long-range bets. As I said, the weekend, this Saturday and Sunday, will prove vital for many of our early selections. Carl, before we go, we better get a $20 bet for Saturday so we can invest on some of these futures.
Tavachi and the Rupert Clark. Let's have 10 each way.
Tavachi and the Rupert Clark, race 7, number 9. And I will go Sebring Dream, 1,000 Guineas Prelude, Caulfield, race 5, number 12. Well, listeners, hopefully we found you plenty of winners. Don't forget to get out and pick up your winning post, full form for... right through the weekend, we kick off the night season. Mooney Valley, Friday night, kicks off what's going to be another good season of night racing. Hopefully you can have a profitable weekend. We will be back next week. John Barker will be back to steer the ship on the preview podcast.